Turn to the book of James. Now, pray for Renee. He was supposed to preach tonight, but he forgot to prepare, so he asked me if I'd preach instead. Actually, pray for Renee. He's not feeling well at all. He's quite sick, and he probably has a little bit of a fever. Stevie, you go get me some water, please. And so I asked him earlier this afternoon, I said, would you like me to preach for you tonight? He goes, oh, no, no. No, he said, oh, no, that's okay, Pastor. I can preach. I said, all right. 15 minutes later, he came back and said, Pastor, can you preach? I said, yeah, we got it. But here's the blessing. He's going to preach next Sunday night. Amen? So he'll come in and bring us the word. James chapter 1, obviously, this is something that I have preached somewhere in my life before. And I think it's very, what's the word? Very for now. What's that word? Ah, thank you, honey. It's very applicable for us now. I want to talk to you about spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. And I'll give you either four statements or four words out of James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. That if we will just take upon these words and understand them, we will understand better how God works things in our life for our spiritual growth. The question, well, let's read the word first. Verse 1, chapter 1, book of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do you know what I love about God's Word? Everything that we need is in God's Word. I mean, God's Word is so full. You can study. Renee will know this. BJ, you teach and speak sometimes and preach, you'll know this. You can take a passage, study it out, deliver a doctrinally sound message, come back to that passage at another time, study it out, and preach a different doctrinally sound message from that passage. Amen? Renee, amen? It's not that you're recreating, but it's so deep. I mean, you can take the Word of God and sometimes just preach an entire sermon on just a word, and then a statement, and then maybe a verse, maybe a paragraph, and then maybe a chapter. The Word is so deep. And so let's look at James tonight about spiritual maturity. The questions would be, what produces a mature Christian? Does anybody know? What produces a mature Christian? Trials. Don't like that, but that's part of what produces a mature Christian. What can a Christian do to become mature in the faith? If trials are part of what produces a mature Christian, what can a Christian do to become mature in the faith? What? Read the Word of God. What'd you say? Go through them. That is a simple yet profoundly true statement. Go through them. But you know me by now, I think. If you're not reading the Word of God, you're not growing. Period. The word of faith cometh, I know, Pastor, you have a soapbox and here it is. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. What is the sign of a mature Christian? Fruit of the Spirit. So let's look at these things tonight. What produces? Sorry? Peter. I take back what I said about to you earlier. I sat down next to him and said, I missed you. He said, why? Your humor, you can't get around Peter more than 30 seconds and just laugh. No, thank you. Let's get back into the Word of God. Also, you know that I'm not at all a part of preaching positive thinking. But I am absolutely for preaching practical, positive, biblical principles. There is a difference, isn't there? Positive thinking is just pulling things out of the air. If we preach biblical principles, we will have the things that we need to grow and to be faithful. Does anybody know a dude named by Warren Wiersbe? You ought to, because I talk about him all the time. And I think you have some of his commentaries, don't you, Inga Flo? Listen, if you want commentaries that will help you, that are easy to understand, that are life applicable, you pick up anything you can read by Warren Wiersbe. Perfect? No, because he's a man, so he's not perfect. But he is really good. Most everything that I study, I will read through a commentary by Wiersbe to study it. So here's what he says. Now, again, he's very simple. He's not profound and he's not new. He's just good. He says, when life hands you a lemon, what do? Lemonade. You make lemonade. What does that mean? When life hands you some problems and issues, you just don't throw it away. You sort out what you can do with it. And in the Christian life, when trials and things come your way, not because of sin, but because God has allowed these trials in your life for a purpose, what you do, you need to sort out and allow God to work those things in your life. You need to sort out, Lord, okay, don't understand it, but you do your thing and work in my life. Throughout the Bible, there are people who turn defeat into victory. They've turned trial into triumph. Instead of becoming victims or casualties of the circumstances, they became victors. I like to make lists of things. One of the lists I love to make, I love to make lists when I read through Kings. I love to make lists of the kings. Because you know, kings of Judah and kings of Israel. Did you realize the kings of Israel after David, well, David and then Solomon, and when Solomon, you know, it was reaped between what Solomon and what's his name? Rehoboam. Thank you. Who said Rehoboam? Oh, thank you, love. At Rehoboam, the kingdoms were split, right? And so you had Israel and you had Judah. You know, Israel never had a godly king. Did you know that? Never had a godly king. And I love to go through and make the lists and do comparisons when I read about the kings. But you need to make a list sometimes of things to encourage yourself. And when I was studying this out, talking about people who turned defeat into victory or trial into triumph, there's many people in the Bible. My favorites would be Joseph. Thrown in a pit, but what did he do? He stayed faithful. He was hated by his brothers, but he was meant to save his family's life. God allowed that trial to come into his life for a purpose. Ruth. Ruth lost her husband but found God and became an ancestor of Christ because she didn't do, well, what was her sister-in-law's name? BJ, you should know this. You watched the program. Orpah, right? Orpah? Ophrah? I can't even speak the name. Orpah? You watch the TV program. You know the Orpah Winfrey show? Okay, didn't get that humor. Anyway, Ruth lost her. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, good. Why do you know? You shouldn't be watching that stuff. Sorry? There you go. All right, Esther. Remember Esther? Esther was brought into the harem. Esther became queen. Mordecai found out that her Haman was going to have all the Jews round up and killed. Mordecai came to Esther and said, you need to go talk to the king. She said, look, I haven't even been called to the king. You know, I can't do that. Esther took a bad situation and said, okay, here's what you do. You go fast and pray. We'll go fast and pray. Because Mordecai said, you know what, Esther? Maybe you've been brought into this situation for what? For such a time as this. She didn't quit. She didn't lose faith. She pressed on. Can we talk about Paul and Silas? We know about Paul and Silas. Here's one of my favorite guys who didn't quit, took the trials of him serving God and allowed them to work through his life. Though he never saw much blessing or progress from his work, he simply served the Lord, and that was Jeremiah. He just pressed on. Many trials in his life. Listen to this. Lord, you have deceived me. Jeremiah's words, you ought to look at it, Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than me, and you've prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everybody mocks me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Sounds kind of not very good, doesn't it? But then he said this in verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. I will not speak his name, or I will not speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's what you said, Cassie, the word of God, right? Listen, these people didn't allow their trials and afflictions to stop them. They pressed on. See, the believer who expects his Christian life to be easy will be in for a shock. Can I say that again? The believer who expects his Christian life to be easy will be in for a shock. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What a powerful blessing this is. I have overcome the world. What'd you say a minute ago, BJ? About in and out of the world? In and of, what'd you say? Say it louder. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. The one who saved us has overcome this world, has taken us out. We are in a different realm. This world does not have to come, cause us to come crashing down. Acts 14. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through what? Much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. This life is just wrought with trials. And we're not talking tonight about things that come to us because of our sin. All right? We're talking about things that come to us because God is maturing us in the faith. Let's take James 1 and just pull some words out of it. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time probably, but just let's look at some of these words. In James 1 verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The first statement, or the first word or first statement, however you want to look at it, is count. Count it joy. Matter of fact, he says, count it all joy when many various different tests come your way. That word temptation is not count it joy. Let me read you something. Count it joy does not mean count it joy over temptations to sin. For these temptations to sin cannot be a matter of joy. I'm reading an old commentator. But these temptations to sin can only come with grief. They are fiery darts, and they give a great deal of uneasiness and trouble. But afflictions and persecutions for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, which are so called here and elsewhere, because they are the trials of the faith of God's people and other graces of the Spirit of God. God, by these, the trials of the faith of God's people, tempts or tests his people, as he tested Abraham when he called him to sacrifice his son Isaac. He thereby tried his faith, tried his fear, tried his love, and tried his obedience by these tests. God tries the graces of his people. Not that God might know them, for he is not ignorant of them, but that we might be made manifest, or that those graces, those things that God works in people's lives, those maturing aspects might be shown to others. Do you understand that when sometimes God brings these tests into our life, he does it for us. He does it for our maturity. But he also does it so others will be strengthened by you seeing what God's doing in other people's lives and they pressing on and not quitting. Amen? Doesn't it encourage you when you see other Christians go through trials and what comes out of their mouths? I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. You know, they don't get mad. They don't get bitter. They don't get upset. I mean, you can have disappointments in life. I think even sometimes you can wonder, all right, God, what are you doing? Has anybody ever thought that? When testings come in your life, you think, God, what are you doing? Not, God, what are you doing? But, God, what you doing? Don't you see the difference? I often think, Lord, well, what you doing there? You know, what is this for? What is this about? What are you working in our life? Man, sometimes his ways are past finding out sometimes. His ways we don't understand sometimes. But his ways, can I tell you, are always good. Do you understand that? His ways are always good. See, we forget about the sovereign hand of God. I think sometimes we forget that all things come through his hand as a sieve. He is a good and wonderful God. These trials come to us for our good. They come to, and these are the trials that come to us as a test of the faith of God's people. The Bible says, count it all joy. It also means if you count something, you evaluate it as joy, right? If you count it, it means you consider it as joy. You say, I don't know what you're doing, Father, but I am going to consider this all joy. What you're trying to produce in my life is a good thing. What you're trying to mature me to is a good thing. And I'm going to count it. I'm going to consider. I'm going to evaluate that these testings of the faith of me as your people, the faith because for the sake of the gospel, I'm going to count it that it's joyful because I think it's going to be really good to see the final product. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? The final product. Consider it joy when God tests you. When we face the trials of life as we serve God, we must look at them in the light of what God is doing in us, through us, and for us. We can be joyful over the work of God that he is making in our lives. You know what? Sometimes God might put you in a place that is uncomfortable. Aaron, sometimes God might put you in a place that you've never been before. Say like with 6 kids, 2 adults, and a dog. That was to help you mature. That was to help you grow. I think you have even told us you might not even mind having children now because you've been hanging out with us so long. Amen? Amen? Do you not see? I mean, we're all here for different reasons, and God's brought you to this place, and God's brought us to this place to mature us and to help us in our faith. Listen, if we want to grow in the Lord, you need to understand, consider the trials of your serving God. Consider those trials because of your faith as a blessing. Has anybody ever here been persecuted in your workplace or family or whatever because you're a faithful believer in Christ? Anybody? You count that joy. Do you understand that probably part of my godly character has come from how my dad acted towards and treated me? You think about that. I determined a long time ago that I'm not going to back down when people come against my faith in Christ. My dad strengthened me against that by all the times he attacked my faith. But that was not, That actually matured me. That actually made me stronger. A mistake that believers have, or a mistake that Christians make that have a devastating effect on God's people, is they expect less trials when they come to faith in Christ. But the reality is, you get more trials. Amen? Amen? All right, listen, you got to wake up. Amen? Amen? One of the things that really helped us in Armenia was water fights. You want to have one? Got any water? Ah, I do. Oh, all these water bottles are starting to peak up. Listen to this, Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions, adversities of the righteous. Of the righteous. Do you listen to that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It didn't say many are the afflictions of the compromisers. Many are the afflictions of those who are half-heartedly living for God. But Renee, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I remember not too long ago the situation that you went through with your employer. Remember that, Richard? That was a tough situation. I remember many afflictions. Gloria, my goodness, the situations that you've encountered through your employer. If you knew just a portion of what Gloria has gone through with her employer because of her faith in different things, it would just blow your mind, right? You can say amen. Amen. Many are the adversities of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hebrews 10:32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great many fight of afflictions. Here's what we need to do. We need to look at the trials through the eyes of faith. Take on a joyful attitude because of the next key word. So in James, my Bible's in my suitcase somewhere in Moscow, so I've got to scroll back up. James verse 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into those many different tests and trials of your faith. In verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. The reason that we can count it all joy is because knowing that, having an understanding mind, that these tests of our faith worketh patience. What is patience? You go home earlier if you talk to me. Everybody starts talking, what? That can be extreme patience, can't it? Yes. Fruit of the Spirit. How about this? Patience is persevering endurance. Sometimes, you know, it's Inga Fleur's right. Patience is what? How'd you put it? Doing nothing when you want to. That is a form of patience. That's like playing in a video game, but you have to wait until the monster gets right at the right spot. Then you go boom, right, BJ? You like video games? Boom. Patience is waiting sometimes when you want to do something. Patience is also, you know what, I can bring this with me. Persevering endurance. Patience means that you press on. So look at verse 3. Knowing is the next key word. Having an understanding mind. Knowing that the trying of your patience will create a persevering endurance. Three things we know about tests that come to us. Number one, faith is always tested. Always tested. Remember Abraham on Mount Moriah with Isaac, Noah in building the ark. Could you imagine how Noah's faith was tested? And I thought about Noah a lot this week because they were getting a kick out of me in Mount Ararat. I must have taken 100 pictures of Mount Ararat. Driving down the road, I stick the camera out the driver's window. You shouldn't do that when they're driving in Armenia, but I stick it out in front of Mike's face. He goes, oh, what you doing? I'm Mount Ararat. And I'll take Mount Ararat. I'm sticking it out here. I had him. I said, stop, stop, stop. And he stops the van, and I jump out, take another picture of Mount Ararat. I was just, wow. What an amazing thing. And you know, God says, Noah, you ain't seen rain and there's no thing around you. You're like kind of out in the middle of the desert, but I want you to build a massive boat. And then I want you to go preach righteousness for 120 years. That's faith, isn't it? And they mistreated him and called him all kinds of names. Faith is always tested. Number two, testing works for us, not against us. Write this down, and you ought to read it later. Job 42:10-12. Peter says, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than of valuable things that perish," I'm paraphrasing, "though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ." Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good, that to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." That doesn't talk about the trial of your faith. It doesn't. When it says all things work together for good, that means good things and bad things. Doesn't it? Amen? It means everything works together for your good if you're called and you love the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction," that's what it's considered, trials. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Simply put, what helps us to mature in faith is we need to consider it joy for the trials that we go in, knowing that those trials will produce persevering endurance, or the trials will produce, another word it means, maturity. You grow. You become stronger in your faith. Testing works for us, not against us. And a third thing that testing does, and I just said it, it helps us mature in our faith as we walk with God. Patience is endurance. It is the ability to keep going when things are tough. And that includes waiting, being still, and letting God without us having to scheme. And isn't it basically that what you said, Inga Fleur? Romans 5 says this, "And not only so, but we rejoice in tribulations and trials, knowing that those trials works patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." It works like this: testing, endurance, experience, confidence, hope. That's how we grow. That's how we become stronger. That is how we become mature in our faith. Again, Wiersbe said this: "The only way that the Lord can develop patience and character in our lives is through trials. Endurance cannot be attained by reading a book, listening to a sermon, or even a prayer." Now, those things are good things, right? But that's not where you're going to become, have endurance. Here's how we're going to have endurance. We must go through those difficulties of life, trust God, and obey Him. The way you become endure is by doing. Ask Aaron. The way you have endurance is by doing. Ask Aaron. Ask her. Say, "Aaron, is that how you build up your endurance? By doing?" Yeah. "Lisa, a year ago, how many miles could you run?" How many? Okay. "Did you run on Saturday? You and Aaron ran Saturday? How many miles did you run Saturday?" Huh? 2.5 miles. How many did you run? 8. A year ago, she didn't run anything. How did she start running 2.5 miles? Well, first of all, she started doing Zumba in our house. And then Christmas came, and I got her a treadmill. And dude, I can't do Zumba for my life or your life. There ain't no way. There's no Zumba in me. And so this is the best I can get with Zumba. Then I got her a treadmill. And then she started walking on that treadmill. And then she started running on that treadmill. And then she started running really hard on that treadmill. So what happened? You get endurance by doing. You become mature in your faith by not running away when God tests you, not running away when these trials happen, not getting bitter and saying, God, forget it. You go through the trials because you're not going through by yourself. I hope you don't think that I'm telling you, you take your staff, take your thingy, and just do it. No, it's by God's grace you'll go through. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I come around with my right arm of righteousness and I hold you up when it needs to be done. Listen, God is, isn't it funny? He brings the test, but yet he's our strength through the test. Amen? It's kind of a weird thing how he does it, but he brings the test and he brings the ability to go through the test at the same time. So, what we have is, to build mature faith, is we count it all joy, number one. Number two, we need to have an understanding mind, knowing that going through these tests, trusting God and obeying him, brings on our maturity. It works persevering endurance. Number three, in James 1:4, we'll get our third word or our third statement. But it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants to work in us so as to become a mature believer. Now, I'm going to read you a statement. Don't think I've lost my mind. Don't think I'm a nutter. Listen to it and think about it. God wants to work in us so as to become a mature believer, but needs our cooperation. Okay? Does God do this? I haven't picked on this person in a while, so I'll do it tonight. You were hoping I was going to keep on walking. I saw you looking. Okay, here's the thing. God doesn't say, all right, I want Sheila to become strong. I'm just picking on you, right? Okay, she does that. I want Sheila to become stronger, so I'm just going to pour strength into her. I'm just going to pile it on her. No, you know what he says? God says, let. Do you see the word in was it verse 4? Let. He expects our cooperation. Let's look at that word, let. And we really got to go fast because my iPad just hit 10% battery life. So we're going to be in trouble if she goes out. It says, let patience, let maturity, let that endurance, let the work of God, in essence, have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work means this: allow it to be developed in you. Let it be developed. Let it produce its appropriate effects without being hindered. Let it not be obstructed in its influence in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your soul. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't rebel. Listen. If God is working in your life and it's not because of sin, there must be a reason why he's doing it. Amen? He has a purpose. God has a purpose. So what we need to do is stop fighting God. I don't know what more to say about it. Let God do that. BJ, do you know this song, Have Thine Own Way? Yeah. So you know how to play that one? Like in 30 seconds or? You just think about that and I'll go on with my story illustration here. There's a song that's called Have Thine Own Way. It says, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way. A lot of times Christians say, no, God, I don't want that in my life. I mean, we've met that people. We've met people say, I know what the Bible says. I know what the truth is. I'm simply not going to do it. I've counseled with someone about 60,000 years ago that said, you know what, I know what God's truth is, but I'm not going to obey it. I'm not going to do it. We need to have a humble and yielded spirit. If we're going to have God work in our life, if we're going to become a mature Christian, we need to say, have your way, Lord. James' argument may seem logical, but it is still difficult to see how trials can be welcomed with an attitude of joy. Amen? Do you have tests in your life, and do you just get up in the morning and say, "Man, I'm glad my boss hates me. Praise God." I just picked that out of the air. It just came to my head. But you understand me. "Man, I'm glad my left leg fell off because I was out witnessing." We don't do that. It's hard to think that sometimes. But when we put these other words into motion, count it. Know. Let. Then we come to the final word. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him." When we're suffering under the conditions of the test and we don't understand why, we lose focus as to what's going on. We know that help from God is available. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to ask. That kind of means, you know, having a believing heart. What are we to pray for as we go through this building process of trials? Wisdom. Wisdom. Why do we need wisdom when we are going through trials? Why not ask for strength? Why not ask for grace? Why not even ask for deliverance? Here's why we need wisdom. We need wisdom so we will not waste the opportunities that God is giving us to mature in Christ. So what are the words? Count, know, let, and ask. Four words to grow in faith. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, as BJ comes to play a song he might not know, Lord, help him to lead us in this "Have Thine Own Way." And Lord, we just love you. In Christ's name, amen. And here's what we can do. Here's what we'll do if we can. We'll sing "Have Thine Own Way." Lynn, do we have that in a PowerPoint? Okay. Then we'll sing "Blessed Be Your Name." Unless you have someplace to go in a hurry. Okay. Amen. Got it. Listen.